Psachim Daf Chav Ches. Continuing our discussion from yesterday, vis-a-vis the Shita of Rav Yehuda, chametz must be burnt. There is no other way to properly dispose of chametz. Shita of Rav Yehuda is presented to us all the way back in the first mission of the second parak of Psachim. We are still in the second parak of Psachim. We are still in a discussion of that first mishnah. First Mishnah goes all the way back to Chaf Aleph, so in the Daf, we've been on this Mishnah now for a little over a week. Within this Mishnah, there were two basic points that were covered. One is the last times that one is allowed to eat and benefit from Chametz on Erev Pesach, which we spoke about in the first parak, but here in the beginning of the second parak, we wrapped up that topic. That was the first point of discussion. Second point of discussion was the proper method of getting rid of one's chametz. Shitas Rav Yehuda is that it has to be burnt in fire. Shitas Chachamim is that you eradicate it in any manner that is available to you. What does Rav Yehuda know that we have to burn it in a fire? So this is not clearly stated in the Torah. Torah just simply says Tashmisu that you must get rid of the chametz. In addition to that, Torah says that you're not allowed to own chametz over the course of Pesach. But outside of that, the Torah does not give specific instructions in terms of how it is to be eliminated. And Rav Yehuda says it has to be burned in the fire. And the question, of course, is how does Rav Yehuda know that? The Gemara, yesterday's daf, started quoting a Braisa, and we are in the middle of the Braisa. Braisa went through a number of points back and forth between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim as to the proper sourcing of this halacha. Rav Yehuda tried to learn it through a Kavachomer, and the Chachamim disproved the Kavachomer. Go back to yesterday's daf. Review the end of yesterday's daf for the beginning of the discussion. We're going to pick it up right where we left off yesterday. We are now in the middle of the discussion, and we are starting on the very top of Chaf Chesem and Aleph. Chazer Rav Yehuda V'dana Din Achim. Rav Yehuda goes and retries, and again he tries to make another din using another argument. Nosar Yeshna Bebal Tosiro. So once again we start with the Yisr of Nosar. Nosar, any of the karbanos that are left over beyond its prescribed time. So by Nosar, it's Baal Tosir, you're not allowed to leave it over. It's kind of built into the name of the Isser, but the basic idea is that Nosar has got a deadline, meaning once it goes past the deadline, so then one is in violation of Nosar. And Chametz by Baal Tosir, same thing is true with Chametz. Chametz also has a deadline, meaning once Pesach has arrived, or as we now know, once Erev Pesach has arrived, so the Chametz now becomes Nosar as well. And that too now is a violation of a deadline. So, ma nosar bisreifa. Now, nosar, the Torah says you have to burn. That's the beferish pasuk. Av chametz bisreifa. Same thing is true with chametz as well. So, amr lo. So, the chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, ashim talui, v'chatz asof abal asafek, lidverech yochichum. So, the chachamim say back to Rabbi Yehuda that, look, there are a couple of other things that require elimination, and we're going to cite these two examples, and they're going to disprove your point, and they're going to show you that you're wrong. So on these two things, Shehen Beval Tosir, now in a moment we're going to identify what they are in detail in just a second, but both of them fall under the category of Baal Tosir, meaning that they have a deadline, and if gone beyond the deadline, are in violation of Baal Tosir, and Shano or Mimbisrefa. Now we, the Chachamim, happen to be of the position that the elimination process of these items are Srefa. However, Atal Mer Bekvura, but it happens to be that you're of the position that the proper illumination is through burial. And so you see over here that we have two other disqualified items that fall under this category of Baal Tosiru. And you, Rav Yehuda, say that rather than burn them, but you have to bury them. And this disproves your very point that you're trying to make. Shasak Rav Yehuda, and the Braisa ends with the words that Rav Yehuda is quiet, meaning Rav Yehuda simply did not know how to answer that, as his own positions ended up turning against him. Now, what are these examples that the Gemara just gave regarding the Ashim Tolu and the Chatzot of Abal HaSafek? So Rashi over here goes through both of them. I'm going to paraphrase both Rashis. Rashi of Ashim Tolu. So Rashi describes over here, we're talking about the standard Ashim Tolu that we discuss often throughout the Gemara. And in Krisos, the Ashim Tolu is discussed extensively. The idea is that a person possibly violated Nisr Kares, like the classic example, he ate Chalev, but he wasn't sure. Maybe it was Chalev, maybe it was Shuman. So under those circumstances, he has to bring a carbon Hashem Talui. Now, in the carbon Hashem Talui, if the carbon was brought, but a psul, some sort of disqualification occurred to the Hashem Talui, or it was subject to Nosar. So what happens with the Ashram Tali now that it's disqualified? Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim. This Machlokas is found at the end of Masechta Tzemura. And it happens to be the Shitas Rav Yehuda is that the Ashram Tali, the disqualified Ashram Tali, is going to be buried, not burnt. Similarly, Chatas Of Abala Safek. So Rashi over here describes a woman had some form of a miscarriage, unclear in terms of whether or not it was a viable, or at least not a viable, but something that would lead to the requirement to bring a carbon for being a yoledes, or the alternative is that something came out of her, but it was nothing that would require her to bring a carbon for yoledes. So under those circumstances, so she has to bring her carbonos. Why does she have to bring her carbonos? Standard carbon of a yoledes is an ola and a chatas. So the reason why she has to bring it is because there is a chance that she had something that would require her to bring her carbonos, her carbon yoledes. And until she does so, she will not be able to go into the Beis HaMikdash. She will not be able to eat carbonos. So, but on the other hand, however, she may not be obligated to bring them. So what does she do under those circumstances? So she brings the carbonos. It's one chatas, the other an ola. Now the ola in of itself is not a problem because the ola could just simply be brought al tanai. On the chance that she's chayav to bring the carbon ola, so then it'll be an olas chova. On the chance that she doesn't have to bring this carbon ola, it'll be an olas nedava, so the ola is fine. What about the chatas? The chatas obviously becomes a problem, because the chatas can only be eaten by the kohanim if, in fact, the chatas was definitely required to be brought. So under these circumstances, Rashi quotes that there are psukim, there are drashas, that tell us that she's going to bring the chatas is going to be brought, even though it's a suffix. But because it's a suffix, the Kohanim are not going to be eating the carbon chatas. What do you do now with the chatas of this possible yoledes? So once again, Rashi quotes at the end of the Gemara in Temura, Machlokas between Rav Yehuda and the Chachamim, and Rav Yehuda is of the position that has to be buried. The Chachamim says it has to be burnt. Okay, so it is in these two examples where it is clear that according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so the disqualified items which clearly are under the category of nosar need to be buried, not burnt. And so, when Rav Yehuda is trying to find a precedent of what to do with my chametz, which also files under this category of nosar, and Rav Yehuda is trying to argue that we're going to burn it, but meanwhile, there are two examples, clearly, of things that fall under the category of nosar, and Rav Yehuda says burial, not burn. And so, with pun intended, so Rav Yehuda now gets burnt based on his own shitas. So I'm Rav Yosef, so the Gemara over here basically now is going to go over a number of expressions that the Amoraim use to basically, like we say in English, you dig your own grave. So the Amoraim had expressions like that, Bismana Gemara. The Gemara is going to go through three such expressions. I'm Rav Yosef, Hainu Dami Inchi. So one expression is Kapadachata Nagara, that if you have some sort of bowl that was made by a carpenter, so Begava Nisra of Chardala, so he's going to burn his tongue with mustard, meaning that very bowl is going to be used for mustard, and the person now who made the bowl is going to burn his tongue on the bowl. Okay, Amar Abaye, a second expression, Sadana Bistani Yasiv, when somebody makes shackles, so if he's caught being a ganav, Rashi describes that he's a ganav in this particular case, so the shackles that he made are going to end up be used against him. Midvil Yadei Mishtalein, so he's going to be repaid with that which he made. And Rava Amar, Rava gives a third expression that people say, and that's Gayari Begira Mikdal. The arrow maker is going to be shot with his own arrow that he made. Midvil Yadei Mishtalem is going to be repaid with that which he made. Okay, much discussion in terms of why three expressions, what's the significance of each of these expressions, what is one articulating that the other one is not articulating. Okay, and in the meantime, however, the basic idea is that Rav Yehuda's position seems to have been refuted, and it refuted by something that he himself espoused at the end of the Gemara in Temura. Okay. So now with that stated, so Shitas Rav Yehuda that we have to burn chametz and there is no other acceptable way to eliminate the chametz, so that position is not an accepted position. Obviously, Minhag Yisrael is to burn chametz on Erev Pesach, but that's only a minhag, meaning the basic halacha is like the chachamim, that proper eradication can be done in any manner, but as a way of almost like a nod to the Shita of Rav Yehuda, not that we hold like that position, but the Minhag Yisrael is to do some sort of token burning on Erev Pesach. In the meantime, however, Shita's Chachamim. The Shita of the Chachamim is that it could be eliminated in any way. And the Gemara goes over, Chachamar Mefar Vizar Vechulei Yibailahu. Question of the Gemara, very straightforward, Hechi Kamar. Now, reading the Chachamim with precision, so it's a little bit challenging, and so the Gemara opens up two possibilities of how to read the Chachamim. Mefar Vizar LaRuach Mefar Matalyam. Look, the Chachamim say that you can throw it into the wind, the Chachamim say that you can throw it into the ocean. Now, also, there is a verb of Mefarer, which means that you crumble. Now, is the crumbling required for both throwing it in the air and into the ocean? That's one possibility. Or maybe no. Maybe if you read the Mishnah carefully, you'll notice that the crumbling is only when you before you throw into the air. So maybe the requirement of crumbling is only when you throw into the air. But if you're going to throw into the ocean, you can throw it to the ocean and you don't have to crumble it. So those are two distinct ways of reading the Chachamim, which one is proper, which one is correct. So Utsana Namigabi Avodazara Ki Agavna. Now, before the Gemara answers the question, the Gemara says, you know, by Avodah Zarah, we have something very similar. And that is, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Shochek Vizoreh L'ruach Omat Aliyam. So when you have Avodah Zarah, so you need to get rid of the Avodah Zarah, you need to eliminate it, eradicate it. So what is the proper procedure to do so? So according to Shita's Rabbi Yossi, so you grind it up. In other words, we're assuming that the Avodah Zarah in question over here is made up of metal. So that's the Shechika, you grind it up. And you throw into the wind, or you throw into the ocean. And once again, Ibailu, the question over here is going to be the same question. So, Hechikamar, Shochik Vizor LeRuch, Vishochik Umat Aliyam, is the Shechika, is the grinding going to be necessary for both casting it into the wind and throwing it into the ocean? Odilma, Shochik Vizor LeRuch, Avamat Aliyam Be'inei. Or maybe no, maybe the grinding is only when you throw it into the air, but when you're throwing it into the ocean, you don't have to grind it up. Now, this distinction is pretty self-evident. Meaning, if I don't grind it up before I throw it in the air, and I'm speaking now both about chametz and about the avodah zarah, so what are you going to do is that you're going to throw it up in the air, it's just going to come back down again. Okay, and then what good was your elimination, right? So obviously, shredding the chametz and shredding the avodah zarah, and then throwing it in the air and letting the wind carry it away, so that you understand now is going to be effective. But when you throw in the ocean, so you can make the argument that crumbling the chametz and grinding the avodah zarah is not necessary because anyway it's going to get lost in the ocean. Or alternatively, no, even when throwing it to the ocean, it still has to be crumbled up, it still has to be ground. So the question now is open both in chametz and in avodah zarah. Amar Rabba, Mistabra. So the Gemara is going to bring down two positions on this matter, Rabba and Rav Yosef. We start with Rabba. So Rabba says, I'll tell you what is most logical. Avodah Zarah de Yam HaMelech Azlei. Now by Avodah Zarah, so it's going to go to the Yam HaMelech. So the when the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah is describing throwing to the ocean, so it happens to be that the citation that we quote over here does not mention Yam HaMelech, but if you look over there in the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, so it's clear in the context that it's talking about the Yam HaMelech. So when it comes to Avodah Zarah, which is going to the Yam HaMelech, so lo ba shechika, so then there's no requirement of grinding it up. However, Chametz l'shar na'aretz kazal, but when it comes to chametz, where here the Chachamim and our Mishnah say that you can throw it into a body of water, it could be any body of water, so then body pure, so then it has to be crumbled up. Okay, so according to Rava, a distinction is made based on the difference in terms of which body of water it's going to be thrown into. Rashi over here, really interesting Rashi. If it weren't for Rashi, so I would have suggested a very simple pshat. What's the difference between the Yam HaMelech versus a standard body of water? When it comes to the Yam HaMelech, so it's salty, it's corrosive, and whatever you throw in there is going to get destroyed. Rashi over here writes, the Ein Sfina Overes Bo, that when it comes to the Yam HaMelech, so there are no boats, there's no traffic going through it, and so therefore no one's going to pick it up. Okay, so I'm not sure Rashi's making the point of corrosion. Rashi just seems to suggest that when you throw it into these bodies of water like the Yam HaMelech, so because there's no traffic, so no one's going to pick it up. So it certainly sounds like from Rashi that the issue is not the salt is going to wear it down, but rather no one's going to pick it up. That's certainly what it sounds like from Rashi. Amar le Rav Yosef, back to the Gemara. Now Rav Yosef says, Adra bicha mistabra. Look, I would suggest just the opposite. Avodah zarah de lo mimisa. An idol is not going to dissolve in water, meaning the idol's metal, and it's going to stay in the water for a long time. So by shechika, so there, prior to throwing it into the water, you have to grind it up. But chametz, the mamis. But when it comes to chametz, so the bread's going to dissolve. It's right. It's a perishable, and it's going to dissolve in the water. So a little bit pure, so you don't have to crumble it up. Okay, so Rabban and Rav Yosef now literally are taking two different sides of this question of when the Chachamim say that you have to crumble and or grind, right? Crumble by chametz and grind by the Avodah Zarah. Is that also talking about when you throw into the water? And now the Gemara over here brings down the positions of Rabban and Rav Yosef in terms of proper understanding of the Chachamim. Tanya Kavah said the Rabba, Tanya Kavah said the Rav Yosef. The Gemara now notes that we have a brisa supporting Rabba, we have a brisa supporting Rav Yosef. Tanya Kavah said the Rabba, we start with a brisa supporting Rabba. The brisa says, Hayam Halach B'Midbar, now if one's in the desert, and he needs to get rid of his chametz, mefar v'zol ruach, so he'll crumble it up and throw it into the wind, and Hayam Halach B'Sfina, now if he's on a boat, so mefarer umatil liyam. So the you have to crumble it up, and you have to throw it into the ocean. So it's pretty clear over here, like Rabba says, that the that when it comes to the chametz, where you're throwing into a body of water, now this is probably where Rashi gets his idea from, that the body of water over here, the non-Yam HaMelech body of water, is one where there are other boats that traffic through, obviously because you're on a boat. So if you're on a boat in the water, that means that most probably there are other boats there in the water as well. Regardless, whatever the case may be, the point is that the Braisa says very clearly that you have to crumple it up when you're throwing into the water. Somebody may go ahead and collect it from the water. Okay, so this certainly sounds like Rava. And Tanya Kavasa to Rav Yosef. And meanwhile, I'm going to quote another Braisa. This Braisa is going to be supportive of Rav Yosef because this Braisa says, Hayam Halach B'Midbar, person's traveling in the desert, Shochek V'Zor L'Ruach. So you're going to take your Avodah Zarah. Here it's talking about Avodah Zarah. The word shechika is to grind. It's clearly talking about the Avodah Zarah. So shochi v'zor l'ruach. So you're going to take it and you're going to spread it out into the wind. Hayim halach b'sfina. Now if you're on a boat, shochek umatil liyam. So what you're going to do is you're going to grind it up and you're going to put it into the sea. So now this is talking about Avodah Zarah. Talks about grinding it up. And this is going to be a proof now to Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, fine, but shechika kashal rabba. Now the Gemara says, now as far as Shechika is concerned, so that's difficult for Rabba's position. The Pira Kashla Rav Yosef, and the crumbling of the Chametz is going to be difficult for Rav Yosef. So the Gemara says, no, both of these can be resolved. Shechika L'Rabba Lo Kasha, as far as the grinding of the Avodah Zarah is concerned. So for Rabba, that's not going to be a problem. Hali Yama Melech and Hali Shanaros. It's just a question of what you're throwing it into. The mission of Avodah Zarah, so that's talking about going into the Yama Melech. So Rava says that only there grinding is not going to be a requirement because again nobody's going through the Yam HaMelech. But when you're talking about Shana Aros, so people are trafficking the Shana Aros, and therefore Rava is going to agree that it has to be ground up. Good. And Perla Rav Yosef Lokasha. Now what about Rav Yosef and the Braisa that describes how you're going to be grinding up, crumbling the chametz? So the Gemara says Habachiti Habanama. So here a distinction to be made in terms of the type of chametz we're talking about. Are we talking about chametz which are kernels, or chametz which is actually bread? Now when we say kernels over here, obviously we have to be talking about kernels that are already were soaked in water. Rashi makes that point pretty clear. Rashi over here, when describing chiti, Rashi says shehichmitzu, that it becomes chametz. So, and the process we're going to go over a little bit later on in the Masechta, but basically it has to be that the wheat kernel was soaked with water to allow fermentation. But the idea over here is that you soak the wheat kernel in water, and under those circumstances, just eliminating it by throwing it into the water is not going to be enough. There you have to grind it up. Masha'enke, when it comes to bread, there's no requirement to grind it up because you just throw it into the water as it is. And the difference is that when it comes to the wheat kernels are more sturdy, more stable. And so therefore, in order to successfully get rid of it, so there you have to grind it up. On the other hand, when it comes to bread, so bread already to begin with is pretty perishable, and you throw it into the water, and that's it. It'll be gone and lost forever. Good. So that would be the distinction that we would make within the sheet of Rav Yosef. So the Gemara defends Rabba's pshat, the Gemara defends Rav Yosef's pshat, and we leave ourselves off with a machlokes Rabba and Rav Yosef, in terms of when crumbling is going to be required, when grinding is going to be required, and what is the proper way to read the sheet of the Chachamim. Ad Kan, that takes us to the end of pretty much the first half of today's daf, and now we continue. We're going to start a Mishnah now, our second Mishnah here in the second parak of Psachim, Chametz Anachri Shavar Lava Pesach, that if I have Chametz that belonged to a non-Jew, and he owned it over Pesach, now obviously the non-Jew is not violating any Isser by owning Chametz. There's no Isser for the non-Jew to own Chametz. It's perfectly within his right to do so. So the Chametz Anachri Shavar Lava Pesach, Mutter Behana. So the Mishnah says that after Pesach is over, you're allowed to get benefit from it. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say this, but most probably, presumably, you're also allowed to eat it as well. In fact, we all know that's in fact the case. Any chametz that's owned by a non-Jew over Pesach, so after Pesach is over, you can go ahead and buy it from him immediately, and you can eat it. The Mishnah using the words mutar b'hana, you're allowed to get benefit from it. Why doesn't the Mishnah make the stronger point, which is that you can eat it? So presumably the Mishnah over here is looking for contrast because, as you would guess, in the very next line of the Mishnah, we're going to say something that's usur b'hana. So in order to have that nice, symmetrical Mishnah, which the Mishnahs are always looking for. Since the Mishnah is about to say Asur Bahana, so the first half of the Mishnah is going to say Mutar Bahana, even though truth be told, is that the Chametz of a non-Jew that he owned over Pesach is not only Mutar Bahana, but Mutar Bahachila as well. Now, Vishel Yisrael, if the Chametz was owned by a Jew over Pesach, so that Jew now violated Bayurah by Yimatzeh, Asur Bahana. After Pesach is over, it's going to be Asur Bahana. Shenamah the pasuk says lo yirah lecha seor. Torah says that you're not allowed to own chametz. Now the pasuk over here is presumably not talking about after Pesach. The pasuk over here is talking about on Pesach. So how is this pasuk going to be reflective of the fact that chametz after Pesach is going to be aser? So the Gemara is going to explain it all. And Rashi over here gives us a quick preview of what the Gemara is going to say. This is a kenas, meaning, because you violated the Isser of Bayurah by Yimatzeh over Pesach, you own Chametz on Pesach, which is a violation of the Torah. So therefore, that Chametz which you own on Pesach is now going to be penalized after Pesach in that you will not be able to eat it, and you will not be able to get benefit from it after Pesach is over. Good. That's the Gemara is going to say this. That's the pshat that we will see later on in the Gemara. The Gemara starts off over here with a very simple question. Mani Masnitzin, who is the author of a Mishnah? Lo Rabbi Yehuda, v'lo Rabbi Shimon, v'lo Rabbi Yosei Galili. So there are three options. We're going to have a formal introduction to all three Tanaim in just a moment. And after having a formal introduction, so then we're going to note that our Mishnah is not going like any of these positions. Now, Maihi. So who are these three opinions? Now, it happens to be that the remainder of today's daf, so all we're going to get is an introduction. Meaning, all we're going to do for the balance of today's daf is just simply see the three Tanaim and the three Shitas of Tanaim in terms of the nature of the Isser of Chametz, before, during, and after Pesach. Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosei Aglili. And it will take an entire Amud of Gemara, the Chav Chesem and Beis, to roll out these three positions. We're going to be quoting the Braisa. The Gemara is going to go a little bit back and forth over the Braisas, over the positions. And then, when all said and done, which will be the end of the daf today, which really it's going to leave us off for tomorrow, and that is that after having been properly introduced to these three opinions, who is our Mishnah following? And seemingly the answer is none of the above. And obviously the Gemara is going to be very uncomfortable with that. And that takes us into tomorrow's daf. But in the meantime, however, so let's start off with our formal introduction to these three opinions, Ma'i D'Tanya. So the Gemara over here quotes a Braisa. The Braisa starts off, Chametz Bein, Lifnei's Mano, Bein, La'acher's Mano, over Allah B'lav. So when we're talking about Chametz from Lifnei Zmano, that means before Pesach. Now, before Pesach, when before Pesach? So as we've discussed already numerous times, this takes us all the way back to Daf Hei in the Masechta. So halfway through Erev Pesach, once you get to Chatzos, the beginning of the seventh hour in Erev Pesach, so Chametz is Asur Min HaTorah. Now, according to this Shita, in a moment we're going to see it's Rabbi Yehuda, so that means that it's not only going to be Asur, it's going to be a form of Lav. It's one violates an actual law of the Torah for eating chametz during that time, or that point in time. Seen inside in the Gemara, bein lifnei zmano, bein la'acher zmano, both before and after. So over a lav belav. So that's a lav. Meaning Shitas Rav Yehuda has a lav in the Torah for chametz before Pesach, meaning that half day before of Erev Pesach from midday until night, and also after Pesach as well. It's a lav. It's a lav in the Torah. Now already you can guess, by the way, that doesn't really fit in so well in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that yes, it's Asur after Pesach, but we as we saw Rashi already, it's a kenas. It's not a formal lav. Anyway, we're jumping ahead. Toch zmano. Now, what about on Pesach itself? What is the chomer ha'isur of chametz on Pesach itself? over lav lav karis. So there it's a lav and it's also a chiv karis as well. Divrei Rav Yehuda. That is all Shitas Rebbe Yehuda. As we now turn to the top of Chav Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Chametz lefnei zmano lachar zmano eino over below klum. So when it comes to Chametz before Pesach, meaning that half day before Pesach, from Chatzos until night, and after Pesach, so eino over below klum, so you're not violating anything. Now the simple language of Rabbi Shimon would seem to indicate that their mamish is no iser whatsoever for Chametz before and after Pesach. Okay? Rishonim discussed it extensively in terms of what exactly is a correct shot within the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. You could see Tosos over here, top Tosos, discussing exactly what is the parameters of Shita's Rabbi Shimon before and after. But Kipshuta, as we just pointed out, it sounds like there's mamish no iser whatsoever. Now Tos Mano, now during Pesach itself, over Lav Bikaris of a Lav. So one violates an iser kari, an iser Lav, coupled with that also Karechi of Karis as well. If one deliberately eats chametz on Pesach, umishash aser ba'achila. Now, from the time that it's aser ba'achila, aser ba'ana, it's also going to be aser ba'ana. Now, that line of the Brisa is obviously confusing because, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no iser of achila until you get to Pesach itself. So, the Gemara immediately not corrects this line, but explains this line. Asal l'tanakama. That line of the Brisa actually goes back to the Shita of the Tanakama, Tanakama here being Rabbi Yehuda, where Rabbi Yehuda says that the Isser of Chametz on Erev Pesach begins at Chatzos, and it's a lav, and now we're just simply clarifying, what kind of lav are we talking about? A lav for both Achila and for Anah as well. Rabbi Yosef Lili Omer, now we're back in the Braisa, so this is a continuation of the Braisa. Tamal Asmacha, you have to wonder, hey, Chametz Asr Ba'anah Kol Shiva, that Chametz is going to be Asr Ba'anah for all 7 days, meaning it's not going to be Asr Ba'anah for all 7 days. It's going to be Asr Ba'achila, but it's not going to be Asr Ba'ana. Now, hopefully you remember this position of Rav Yosef Glili. So we quoted it earlier in the Masechta. In fact, earlier in this parak. So we quoted Shitas Rav Yosef Glili. So he takes a minority position that Chametz over Pesach is only Asr Ba'achila, but not Asr Ba'ana. And over here in the Braisa, so the Braisa now is the source, obviously, for that Shita of Rav Yosef Glili. So now the Braisa wants to know, according to Shitas Rav Yehuda, how do I know the Chametz from the 6th hour? Now, it says from the 6th hour, but being that we're discussing the Isser of Chametz min HaTorah, it really means from the end of the 6th hour, meaning midday. Right? The 6th hour is from on a perfect day from 11 to 12, so it really means at the end of the 6th hour, meaning once you get to midday, shu over below sase, that one is violating a lav of the Torah Shenemar. Lo socho alav chametz. The Torah says, lo socho alav chametz, div Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, that being the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a little Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon says, back to Rabbi Yehuda, v'chi efshir lomar kain. You can't say that. V'lo kvar nemar, lo socho alav chametz, shivas yamin tocho alav matzos. The pasuk over here clearly states the relationship between the iser of chametz and the mitzvah of eating matzah. Which means to say, of course, that the mitzvah of eating matzah is only on Pesach itself. Which means that the iser of chametz is on Pesach itself. So Rabbi Shimon's counter-argument is that simply, look, if there, when there's no mitzvah of matzah, meaning on Erev Pesach there's no mitzvah of matzah. In fact, we can also add, by the way, as we'll see at the beginning of the 10th parak, there's an iser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach, but we'll get to that later. But certainly there's no mitzvah of matzah. There's no mitzvah of matzah, so then obviously, according to Rabbi Shimon, there is no Isser of Chametz during that point in time. So, im keim atam alam lo sochal av Chametz. Now, what are you going to do with the pasuk of lo sochal alav Chametz? So, b'shash yeshno b'kum echo matzah, yeshno b'val tochal Chametz. It means that at a time when there is a positive commandment to eat matzah, so then there is going to be an Isser of Chametz. So, b'shash yeshno b'kum echo matzah, so yeshno b'val tochal Chametz. And when there is no mitzvah to eat matzah, i.e. Erev Pesach, so then there is no iser to eat chametz. That is Rabbi Shimon's understanding of the pasuk. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara now wants to know, for Rabbi Yehuda, how do you arrive at this conclusion? You'll remember now that according to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, there are three separate lavim of chametz. There's a lav before Pesach, meaning from midday of Erev Pesach to nightfall. There is now a second Isser of Chametz, meaning on Pesach itself, for the seven days of Pesach. And then there's another Isser in the Torah of post-Pesach Isser Chametz for any Chametz that was owned on Pesach itself. So this sheet of Rav Yehuda now really represents three Lavin of the Torah. So the Gemara points out, so how does Rav Yehuda arrive at that conclusion? Kolasa Krayt Sive. Well, actually, if you look carefully over here, you'll see that there are three separate Pesukim. Lo Yeachel Chametz, Kol Machmeses Lo Sochelu, and Lo Sochal Alav Chametz. So these three Pesukim. Now it's interesting, the Gemara over here does not assign which Pasuk is going to be reflective of which Isser. So it is a worthwhile endeavor. We're not going to do it right now, but it is a very worthwhile endeavor to try to identify which Pasuk is referencing which of the Isserim. Chad lefnei zmano, chad la'acher zmano, chad la'soch zmano. The three Pasukim over here represent the three Isserim of pre, during, and post. And Rabbi Shimon. Now what Rabbi Shimon is going to have to do really is knock out two of those Pasukim. Now, of course, when we say knock out, we don't mean knock out the Pasuk. Just simply mean that two of those Pesukim are already dedicated for other drashos and simply not available to teach me about the Isser of Chametz on Pesach. Because again, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's only one Zman that Chametz is going to be Isser, and that's going to be on Pesach itself. For Rabbi Shimon, there's no pre-Isser and there's no post-Isser. So what is Rabbi Shimon going to do now with two of those three Pesukim? So for Rabbi Shimon, Chad Lesoch Zmano, good. So one of the Pesukim is for Pesach itself. Good. Now, the Chomach Metzis me by Lelechid Tanya. So the Chomach Metzis is there to teach me the following. Chametz Ein Liela Shinis Chametz Mei Lav. I might have thought that Chametz is only going to be Aser if it ferments on its own. Meaning that basically it itself creates the catalyst, the fermentation process in which it will grow. However, Machmas Aver Achiminein. But let's say the fermentation is promoted by an external source, right? Like exactly what we do. In other words, we take a dough, we throw yeast into the dough, and that yeast is now going to be the catalyst and accelerate the fermentation process. How do I know that the Torah also is prohibiting that as well? That's machmas davar achir. So how do I know? The Talmud Lomar, kol machmetzes lo sochelu. So that's based on the pasuk of kol machmetzes lo yeachel chametz mibay lelecha detanya. Now what about the pasuk of lo yeachel chametz, which is the third pasuk? So Rabbi Shimon will say, what I do with that pasuk is I learn halacha of Rabbi Yosi Aglili. So he says, we learn it from the following braisa. Rabbi Yosi Aglili Omer, minayin lepesach Mitzrayim, she'in chimutzo noeg ela yom echad. How do I know that Pesach Mitzrayim, where the Isser of Chametz was only for one day, tamalomer lo ye'achel chametz. So the pasuk says lo ye'achel chametz v'smichle, and right next to which says, hayom atem yotzim. Now, if you put these two psukim together, so what it would indicate is that the Isser Chametz at Yitzias Mitzrayim is only going to be for day of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but not any time after that. So Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Pesach Yitzias Mitzrayim, a most unusual Pesach, in which there was only one day of Isser Chametz. Now, it is a little bit interesting and unusual that the Gemara now is dedicating an entire pasuk to teach me a halacha regarding Yitzias Mitzrayim. My dahava hava, it's something that historically took place in the past, not to be duplicated, it's not ledoros. So it certainly is interesting that a pasuk over here is used as a drasha to teach me a historical halacha. Okay, but Rav Yosef Lili darshins it, and Rabbi Shimon now is going to use that drasha, meaning so now that pasuk can no longer be used to teach me about the halachas of Chametz on Pesach. Good. Now, v'Rabbi Yehuda. So now that we saw what Rabbi Shimon does with two of the three pesukim, limiting me now to only one pasuk that deals with the Isser of Chametz bePesach, meaning that the Isser now is only on Pesach itself. So now, how is Rabbi Yehuda going to counter? Because Rabbi Shimon now has used two of the other pesukim for two other halachas. One halacha of Chametz Ayde Acher, and the other halacha of Pesach Yitzias Mitzrayim. So how is Rabbi Yehuda now? Where is he going to learn out these halachas? That's next step of the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda, machmas aver achim in alei. So how does he know the halacha? The chametz that was generated by an external yeast, and that's going to be aser. How do I know that? Mida afkir rachman abel losh machmetzes. It's the pasuk of kol machmetzes lo sochelu. And what Rabbi Yehuda basically is going to do is he's going to darshan two things out of the pasuk. Meaning is going to teach me the basic halacha regarding the additional time frame of the Isser of Chametz. On top of that, by virtue of the fact that the Torah uses the lashon of machmetzes, it affords also the possibility for the Torah to teach me that even if the chametz is ayde davar acher, that's still going to be chametz. And Rav Yosef Lili Menale. Now, what about the halach of Rav Yosef Lili regarding Pesach Mitzrayim? So Ibai Seima midasamach lehayom. So it could very well be that's from the smicha, meaning that the smicha gets me to the halach of Yitzias Mitzrayim, but at the very same time, the pasuk by itself also comes to teach me the time frame, the additional time frame where there would be in the Sur Chametz. And Ibai Seima. The other possibility is smuchim lo darsh, or it could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda doesn't darsh in smuchim. Meaning, and he just simply doesn't agree with the halacha of Rav Yosef Glili. And so then, obviously, leaving that pasuk totally open and available to teach me halacha of the time frame regarding Chametz BePesach. Where do we stand right now? So far, we are almost done with the daf. We've rolled out two of the shitas. Well, we rolled out all three shitas over here. But we explored two of the three shitas regarding the Issur of Chametz. Shitas Rav Yosef, Shitas Rabbi Huda is that the Isser of Chametz, there's a lav for pre-Pesach, meaning from Chatzos and Erev Pesach until nightfall. There's a lav and a Nechi of Kares for on Pesach itself, from nightfall of the 15th all the way to the end of Pesach. And then post-Pesach, that's a separate lav as well. That's all Shitas Rabbi Huda based on three Pesachim. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, there's only one lav with Kares on Pesach itself. And the other two psukim, so Rabbi Shimon generated for other halachas. Amar. So the Gemara now quotes the Braisa, Div Rabbi Yehuda. So Amar Rabbi Shimon, V'chiyav shel Amar Kain, V'lo Koinem, Lo Sochal Av Chametz, Shevasim Tochal Av Matzos. And Rabbi Yehuda, so Shapik Hamalei Rabbi Shimon. And now the Gemara just wants to know. Rabbi Shimon made what seems to be a fantastic counterpoint to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon says that there's a relationship between the Isser of Chametz and the Chiyuv Matzah. When the Chiyuv Matzah kicks in, i.e. the night of Pesach, so that's when the Isser Chametz kicks in as well. I mean to say that in the Torah, the Isser was no Isser Chametz prior to that point in time. That's what the Pesach seems to be indicating. And that's Rabbi Shimon's point. And what's Rabbi Yehuda going to do with that point? So Rabbi Yehuda Melcha, Ha'hu Lekova Chova Afilu Bezman Hazeh, Hu Da'asa. No, that pasuk is coming to teach me another halacha. Notably, that there's a mitzvah to eat matzah afilu bizman hazeh, meaning that although the Torah clearly connects matzah to the Karm Pesach, and one could have entertained the idea that if there's no Karm Pesach, there's no longer an obligation to eat matzah. So what this pasuk is coming to teach me is that no, that with matzah, matzah is connected to the Isser Chametz. The Isser Chametz, obviously, is totally irrespective of whether there's a Karban Pesach or there's no Karban Pesach. There's always an Isser Chametz. So since it's just like there's always an Isser Chametz, so too there's always going to be a mitzvah of matzah as well. So matzah bezman hazeh, despite the fact that we don't have a Karban Pesach, there's still a mitzvah of matzah bezman hazeh. V'Rabbi Shimon lekova chova menale. Now how does Rabbi Shimon know that there's a mitzvah of matzah bezman hazeh? The pasuk that Rabbi Yehuda used to darshan, Rabbi Shimon already darshaned it for another halacha. So nafkalei mi be'erv tochlu. Tochlu. So he learns it out from the pasuk of Be'er Tochlu Matzos. Good. So he has a pasuk that describes it. Rav Yehuda Mebailei. Now, as far as Rav Yehuda is concerned, what's Rav Yehuda going to do with that pasuk? So he needs it for the following. Tamei Shaya B'derech Rechoka. For somebody who's Tamei in Derech Rechoka, who are in a position right now where they're not going to be participating in Karban Pesach. Salka datcha min ahol bePesach lo yochal matzah maranam lo nechal. Since they're not eating Karban Pesach, they're not going to be eating matzah as well. So Kamash Malan, the Chiddush says, no. The Tamei and the Derech Rechoka are going to be eating matzah. They have an obligation to eat matzah. That's what they learn out from the Pasuk Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. There, Rabbi Shimon. Now back to Rabbi Shimon. So Tamei v'shaya b'derech rechoka lo itzir kra. So Rabbi Shimon will tell you, for that I don't need a drasha. Why don't I need a drasha? Because the logar me arel uben nechar. Because the arel and ben nechar are excluded from Karban Pesach, and uksivachol arel lo yochabo. Now the Torah says regarding the arel, the uncircumcised, so the Torah says lo yochabo, he's not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. And now we're going to read the pasuk very carefully and very critically. Lo yochal bo, he's not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach. And the drasha is bohu en ochav al ochu b'matzav v'marer. So he doesn't eat Karban Pesach, but he does eat matzah and he does eat marer. So it's very clear now that the RL who is excluded from Karban Pesach is not to be excluded from matzah. And so Rabbi Shimon will tell you that just like we see that by the RL who is excluded from Karban Pesach but not excluded from matzah, and the same thing with the Ben Echar. So we're going to say the same thing for the person who is a Tamei in Bederech Rechoka. excluded from carbon Pesach, but not excluded from matzah. Ve Rabbi Yehuda. Now, as far as Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, what's his counter argument? Sibai. That we have a drasha regarding the Arel and the Benechar. We have a drasha by the Tamei and the Derech Rechoka. And okay, so in other words, we have drashas. We have drashas for the both of them. And and as far as why the necessity for drashas for the both of them, so the Gemara doesn't highlight why it is that we necessarily may need so. But what Rabbi Yehuda will just simply say is that we have for both camps, we have drashas for both camps, and that now is the back and forth regarding Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon. Good, and so ends the daf. And so where does that leave us off now? So we have now formally rolled out the shitas of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosi Aglili. And our Mishnah, as the Gemara now is going to highlight in the beginning of tomorrow, the Gemara is going to highlight in the beginning of tomorrow's daf that seemingly our Mishnah is not subscribing to any of those three opinions. In the multiple choice question of A, B, C, or D, A, Rabbi Yehuda, B, Rabbi Shimon, C, Rabbi Yosi Aglili, the answer right now seems to be D, none of the above. And that's an acceptable answer, and that's what we're going to start with tomorrow on Daf Chav Tes. Okay, and just as a quick recap, very straightforward Daf in terms of topics that were covered, and in terms of summarizing the Daf. Number one, finishing off a discussion of Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that the mitzvah of Tashbisu, of destroying Chametz, has to be done only through Sreifa. How does Rabbi Yehuda arrive at that conclusion? So he tries to find a Kavachomer, a Binyanav, some sort of precedent that lays it out. Meanwhile, the Chachamim counter Rabbi Yehuda's position, and in the Braisa, the Chachamim get the last word. They note that Rabbi Yehuda, based on a couple of his positions that are expressed at the end of Masechta Temura, so it's very hard for Rabbi Yehuda to defend his own position. In fact, Shasak Rabbi Yehuda ended up being quiet. And the Gemara basically says, I have three ways to express the idea that Rabbi Yehuda, by expressing those positions at the end of Temura, so he dug his own grave. And the Gemara had three different ways to express it. The Chachamim say that when you eradicate Chametz, you could do so in any way, as long as you get rid of it. What does that mean, get rid of it? So it means that you're going to crumble it up and you're going to throw it into the air, or you're going to throw it into the ocean. When throwing to the ocean, do you have to crumble it up as well? So not clear in the reading of the Mishnah. And the Gemara brings down two positions, Rabbah and Rav Yosef, and the ensuing discussion in terms of a Braisa supporting Rabbah, so Braisa supporting Rav Yosef, and chilukim, possible chilukim that could be made in terms of resolving the Mishnah, the Braisa, both for the sheet of Rabbah and for the sheet of Rav Yosef. Good. Then, second half of today's daf, we cite a Mishnah. The Mishnah about Mechav Chesam and Aleph brings down that Chametz on Pesach itself is going to be Chametz that was owned on Pesach. So if it was owned by a non-Jew, it's mutter, right? Obviously after Pesach, it's mutter bahana, and presumably the Mishnah also means mutter b'achila as well. If it was owned by a Jew, so then after Pesach it's going to be usur b'hana'a. And so far, all we did is just simply introduce the Gemara's question and the remainder of today's daf. The question is, who's our Mishnah going like? It's not going like Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yosi Glili, and for the remainder of today's daf, we just simply rolled out the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Yosef Glili. Rabbi Yehuda says that Chametz is asur min haTorah before Pesach, from Chatzos until nightfall, on Pesach, obviously for the 7 days of Pesach, and after Pesach as well, as a law of three psukim. The only difference between the before and the after and the during is that during Pesach, it's both law and also an Isser Kares. Sheet of Rabbi Shimon is that the only time that there's an Isser law is on Pesach itself. There's no Isolah before nor after Pesach. What does that mean? According to Rabbi Shimon, Mamish nothing, Mamish Mutta Lagamre. So again, that part's not clear in the Gemara. Top Tosis on the Amud Beis discusses that very issue. And then Shitas Rabbi Yosef Glili takes the most lenient position, is that on Pesach itself, Chametz is Aser Be'achila, but Mutter Be'hana. A Shitas Yachin, a minority position regarding the allowance to get benefit from Chametz on Pesach. And then the Gemara went back and forth over the sourcing for Rabbi Yehuda, the sourcing for Rabbi Shimon. I didn't spend much time with Rabbi Yosef Glili, didn't spend really any time with Rabbi Yosef Glili. But anyway, the Amud Beis basically went over how Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda would darshan the psukim and what each would do with the other's drashas. Adkan.